The Iditarod sled dog race is getting underway in Alaska. Allie Zirkel, a musher from Two Rivers, Alaska, says she's always surprised when folks ask her if this is going to be a tough race.
Isn't Iditarod supposed to be tough? I mean, I flabbergasted me that everyone's like, man, it's going to be a tough one. Well, going across the wilderness of Alaska for 1,000 miles by a dog team is actually tough anyway.
The race is expected to take about 10 days to complete. Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon and Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel are getting ready to jump into Chilly Lake, Michigan. The annual Polar Plunge raises money for Special Olympics. 3,000 people are poised to take the plunge. 2,300 jumped in last year. Ross Simpson, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis on this beautiful Sunday morning in January. This is the first Sunday I can remember where I can actually see blue sky.
Here. What?
It's been gray and grim and raining and all that. It's been horrible.
That's not true.
Okay, right. It hasn't been.
It's been pretty good.
Welcome to my marriage. Hello, everybody. All right, so we got a rocking show today. Allison Victoria is with her. She's a celebrity.
With us.
With her, with you, with her. She is with her.
Okay.
She's also with us. She's the very well-known interior designer and host of DIY Network's Kitchen Crashers. So if you got a crappy kitchen, pay attention. You're going to find out all kinds of cool stuff.
We have a crappy kitchen, so I'm totally paying attention.
Thanks, honey.
Okay.
Take my pants off on the radio here.
I haven't even begun.
I'm about to, actually. Okay.
Later in the show, we'll be talking with Joan Nathan. She's been in every year to talk about the annual Sips and Sups, that huge event that happens.
You mean world-famous cookbook author,
World-famous cookbook author. She can't hear us, so she can't preen. But anyway, we're really looking forward to talking to her about the annual Sips and Sups. It takes place every year. Chefs from all over the country come in to cook at these two great events that help raise funds for D.C. Central Kitchen and for Miriam's table. Right? Miriam's Table? Martha's Table. Thank you. Martha's Table. Miriam's is another one.
Miriam's trying to get into it, but
they won't let her. Okay.
She's so pushy.
And lots of you have heard about the new restaurant opening up, Menu by Frederick Depew. It's opening up later this week. He's in studio. He's going to give us the 411.
Seriously, one of the nicest guys in the entire world.
He is.
I love
him. He's such a good guy.
And I'm saying that in front of you.
I know. And just recently opened Bidwell at the very spectacular Union Market is Chef John Mooney. He's in studio. He's going to tell us all about what he's doing down there.
All right, and two old friends, two good friends, Jade Floyd, Michelle.
Yeah, because they're not old.
Jade, don't. Well, they're not. They're young and hot. Just in case anything ever happens with me and Nikki hang out.
Yeah.
They're with Early Mountain Vineyards, and you guys know that we've done a couple of remotes from Early Mountain Vineyards down in Madison, Virginia. And mm-hmm. But they're here because they're also involved in Sips and Sups. I'm going to say you're the wine sponsor, even though you're one of two, right?
We are the private VIP event with Eric Asimov and Alice Waters.
But that's at Sips, right? On Saturday Sips. Night?
Yep.
Okay,
Saturday
so why
night.
Don't we talk about what you guys are doing? Let's just get right into it. So have you guys been to Sips? Have you been before?
This is my first year. This is Michelle.
Okay.
Involved with Sips, so I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our winery, Early Mountain Vineyards. We're pouring one of the wines we'll have this morning in studio, mm-hmm. as well as RDV. Rucker DeVinck's winery.
Which is like one of the hottest wines coming out of Virginia right now.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? He's getting a lot of buzz.
Yes, he defines what cult wine can be in Virginia.
I love when we start the day with wine. It's like,
it's the best way to start. You have to start your day with wine.
Salud.
People who don't start their day with wine have a problem.
Spend 2 minutes because Early Mountain Vineyards isn't just your run of the mill vineyards down there, it's owned by Steve and Jean Case, and it's an unbelievable facility. I mean, it's just. It's like Disney World. It's the cleanest, neatest, most...
Okay, it's so pretty. It is not like Disney World.
No, it's like Disney World in the sense that it's pristine and clean. But talk, you know, give us 2 minutes on the vineyard itself.
Absolutely. So Early Mountain Vineyards, we're in Madison, Virginia, which is an hour and a half away from D.C., southwest, just 30 minutes north of Charlottesville. And it is unlike what you would normally see in these parts in terms of our winery and our facility. The tasting room and event space is over 8,000 square feet. So, and Gene Case is really the moving force behind our winery and the vineyard and our vision. And just the design, the space.
It looks like a ski chalet.
I mean, it looks like Ralph Lauren designed it. I mean, the colors, the palette is so beautiful. And the way the, you know, that big, massive fireplace in the center and then that gorgeous fireplace outside with the pop of orange. Who designed it?
Well, she actually worked with a designer out of Richmond.
Jade, you need to put your face right in front of that mic.
She worked with a designer out of Richmond. And it's very reflective of Jean's style, even in our offices here in D.C. There's a lot of earth tones. It's very relaxing. She wanted to have a sense of place where you can come in and have, you know, breakfast with your family at the marketplace or lunch, and really have it be reflective of being in a home and a relaxing environment.
Well, she pulled that off.
Well, I mean, that's such a perfect segue for our next guest. I hate to even break it, but just tell us quickly what you poured, Michelle.
So the first wine is Pinot Gris. This is the 2012 vintage from Early Mountain.
Okay.
It is an estate Pinot Gris bottling, and it's a little bit more tropical than you normally get with Pinot Gris or Grigio, the same grape. So I think it's refreshing.
And why do you think that is? Why do we think we're getting more tropical with this?
I think we have a good sight, and I think we also, the winemaker did age this on the lees. You know, some of our employees are like, oh, they're aging it on the leaves. That's cool. The lees are the dead yeast cells that happens during fermentation, so it gives it more body and roundness and a little more depth than you would normally expect with Grigio. And I think I call this the life of the party, and since we're starting off with this morning.
I told you you're my party maker.
You are.
Make it
so I lead the way with Pinot Gris.
Excuse me. I'm the life of the party.
I'm sorry.
No. I didn't mean the life of the party. I said she's the party maker.
Okay,
we can all call you the life of the party.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So while we're sipping this, let's talk to Allison Victoria. Hiya.
Hiya.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. With the wine. I love it.
Get into this whole interior design thing. What happened there?
I always knew I wanted to be a designer. So that was the easy part. But the show was kind of a fluke how I got on. It was an email, random email to over 200 designers in Chicago. And it just said, does anyone want to be on a design show? I wrote yes. And when they said, we want to meet you, I was so excited. Long story short, it was to be a ghost designer, which means I designed for someone else's show because they can't design them all.
Right.
And I was kind of bummed, but I was like, oh, you know, everything's a stepping stone. We'll see what happens. Production really, really liked what I did, put me on the show. It was on Josh Temple's show called House Crashers.
Sure.
Okay.
So I designed that episode, and then shortly after, they followed me with cameras to Vegas and said, we want to do a really cool hybrid show with you as a designer, but then you as the creative director at a casino. There's so much. But I said, that doesn't make any sense. What if I become the first female crasher? Because I always want to be the first to do something.
Love that.
And as a tiny lady like you, I just always want to prove, you know, that I can do it. And I can
good
do it as good as a man.
Packages.
Yes, they do. And so there I am.
Well,
okay. First female crasher. So
all
it feels good.
But let's talk about the structure of the show and how that works.
Yes. So, and we were touching on it earlier. So what happens is I go to Lowe's or Home Depot or Menards or whatever, any home improvement store. I walk around for 12 hours, seriously run around.
Right.
I mess with people. I joke around with them. I screw around with them and then hope to find somebody that has a bad kitchen.
Okay.
So really it's just, what are you looking for today? How's the kitchen? Even if they're looking for the bathroom. And then if it's bad enough, we go home with them. So we do a little background.
So you'll go to Home Depot and go home with some stranger?
Oh, yeah. It's fun to go up to the guys.
Do that
I just want to say, you're all going to the wrong store.
No. It was the first season.
Forget the bars.
Yeah.
The bars.
Oh, trust me. It was the first season. And I would just go up and I would just...
But you had cameras with you, right?
Yeah. But okay. I would just go up and be like, would you like to take me home with you? And like the guy's like, I don't understand. Is this a trick? Like,
right.
Yes, I'm
Am
married,
I being
but
pumped?
yes. I was like, no, for your kitchen, stupid. So it
How'd
ended
you know
up being
my name
a joke.
Was stupid?
So you go into people's kitchens,
and
but we talked about this off air a little bit. I mean, there are bad kitchens, and then there are
sloppy
people.
Yes.
So how do you handle that?
When I meet you at the home improvement store, I say, let's go. And we walk out the doors and I get in my car, and that's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is I get in my car and I just go right back into my parking spot.
Okay.
And I go back into the store and I keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And then we have them send pictures to make sure it's bad.
Right.
We don't want to drive around all day looking at kitchens that aren't crashable.
Right. That doesn't seem efficient.
No. So if it's crashable, we go back same day. I walk through it. And that's how we weed out the people that are just messy.
Right.
From the people that really have terrible kitchens.
Okay.
From the space planning to the finishes to the function. It's got to be bad.
And then do people just totally put themselves in your hands and
100%.
And you just say, this is what I'm doing. Do you ever have people sort of fight you?
We had one couple in Vegas, and it was out of 62 episodes, only one couple that didn't like what we did. And it was so weird because
be
we
so
do
painful.
The back. You know what, though, as a designer?
Well, but not only that, when you start off with such a crappy kitchen, you could blow it up. It would
right.
Be
and I'm like,
but
oh,
some
I'm sorry.
Are
that
never
we,
happy.
Yeah, I'm sorry we gave you a $70,000 kitchen.
Yeah, for free.
You poor thing.
Right.
You don't like that?
Right.
So I couldn't wait to get off that episode.
So you had your own reality show called Up Yours.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those moments where I was like, you know what? I love what I do, and I'm not going to let you make me not love it.
Right.
But it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Right?
I would imagine so.
You know, but I do my homework. I'm meeting them. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to them. How do you use your space? How do you live in it? Mm-hmm. What do you love? What do you hate? So I can come back and I can give them the perfect space.
At our house, you wouldn't be talking to me.
No, not at all.
No, I already figured that. In 5 minutes, I figured you weren't the one to go to.
So now you're in town today.
Yes.
Let's talk about what you're doing in town.
So I am at the Dulles Expo, and it's a home and remodeling show.
Right. You were there yesterday, too.
Yes, I was there yesterday, and I went on twice, and today, 12:30 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do a presentation on how to create an empowered space.
What does that
so,
mean?
To me, in a kitchen especially, a kitchen is the hub of the home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that don't know how to organize and how to make a home for every item in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's unorganized, and I feel like you become... At least for me, it's a less healthy lifestyle. Meaning, if I don't know where everything is in the kitchen, I'm probably not going to eat that healthy.
Right.
I'm going to go and I'm going to grab the chips. I'm going to go because that's easy and I got that. But when you organize your drawers, your pantries, and things are efficient, you actually...
He's only
I think,
looking at me because...
Why? Because you do this?
No,
I'm extremely organized.
It's a horrible kitchen, but it's like a government commissary and everything.
I don't let anybody put the groceries away but me.
Labels are
because you know where it goes.
I know where everything goes. Everybody else will just throw stuff in there.
Yep.
I like everything in its place. And this way, when somebody says, where is, I'm like...
Let me get
the
it.
On the wall.
Yeah.
Our son's
exactly.
favorite saying is, mom's little, but she's bossy.
Yeah. Okay
well, there,
you
and I are exactly
I
the same.
I have no problem with being
I like
bossy.
To tell people how to form and function is what kitchens are about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just showing people quick tips on how to make your kitchen better and really just every room in the house.
Well, let me jump in with 2 seconds just about the show because while Alice and Victoria is there, there apparently are, and we haven't been out there, we're going to try and get out there today, hundreds. Of home improvement and home remodeling exhibitors for kitchen, bath, stairs, lighting, flooring. So it really, if you've got any problems with your home or you need ideas,
that's the place to be.
Right.
I could walk around there for hours.
So, but when you're doing your presentation, how are you giving people sort of the, are you like trying to inspire them? Do you want them to go to your website? I mean, how can they use the information that you have for them to sort of change what they're doing?
So I saw a lot of people yesterday with notepads. Or their phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not overwhelming them with information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making it fun. I'm making it sticky. I'm making me relatable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not talking at them. I'm talking with them.
Okay.
So I love the Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
I love to be able to answer anything from show questions to personal questions to whatever, just their own kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it's all about.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are people like at all over you being like, my husband and I are, come to our kitchen, come to our kitchen. I mean, how do you?
I never
hear that.
No,
it's all I hear. I told Luke, my husband, I said, I'm not going to Christmas this year. And he's like, why? I said, because if your family asks me one more time to crash their kitchen, I'm leaving.
Oh, you're going to lose your mind. All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we get back, I kind of want to talk about, do you miss designing other pieces like living rooms and bedrooms?
Yes.
And do you still do that?
Yes.
And what do you like? I want to talk about trends just a little bit.
I want to talk about
all
that.
Okay, great. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're talking about home design. We'll be back in just a sec.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Join the Women's Center on Saturday, April 5th from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the McLean Hilton for one of the Washington's best conferences for women. This annual leadership conference will feature a number of fascinating speakers, including author of the article, Why Women Still Can't Have It All, Anne Marie Slaughter, and more. Several educational workshops will also be held by some of the region's leading experts. For more information about the conference and sponsorship opportunities, visit thewomenscenter.org. Limited seating. Register online today. Federal budgeting is broken. So what's to be done about it? Federal News Radio invites you to join an online chat with two vocal advocates of fiscal responsibility as they share their specific budget fixes. David Walker, former U.S. Comptroller General, and Diana Urban, Connecticut State Representative, are joined by Federal News Radio's Tom Temin on Tuesday, March 4th at 9 a.m. It's all part of our special report, Now or Never, Ideas to Save the Failing Budget Process. Register for the chat online at federalnewsradio.com.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why isn't 11 pronounced 21?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back on Fooding the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking to Allison Michelle, who has hosted
Allison Michelle. Who is that?
Allison Michelle actually was a girl I dated in college.
Well, what are you
that's
thinking
something about?
About
that? Sorry.
Come on, get with it.
Allison Victoria.
Just so you know, I'm Mrs. Nellis number 3.
Well, you know what happens? They die of exhaustion. But Allison is not only host of Kitchen
exhaustion
Crashers.
Exhaustion is the correct. Wait, shh, it's the correct word. It's exhausting.
That wasn't an opening for you. You're not the comedian here. She is host of DIY Network's Kitchen Crashers, and she's in town for the big home remodeling show out at the Dulles Expo Center. See, I did the plug.
You did it.
I did it. So,
and wait, you're going to be on today when?
12:30 and 4.
Okay, so you can all go see her there. But let's talk a little bit about designing trends. Because
yes,
you are an interior designer.
Right.
So right now you're focusing on kitchens. But let's talk about some trends right now for the kitchen, maybe for the living room, for the dining room. Like, what are you loving color-wise? What are you loving product-wise? What's hot for you right now?
For me, you know, everybody asks the question about trends. And for me, trends are great, but not necessarily for a kitchen. Because a kitchen is the hub of the home, but the most expensive part of the home. And it costs a lot of money if you stop liking the trend.
Sure.
Right? So chevron's really hot. Great. Get a chevron backsplash.
Right.
Don't necessarily do a chevron floor. Because a chevron backsplash is going to be easier, or wallpaper. Correct. You know, it's going to be easier to replace versus a floor. So consider where you're putting this trend and how expensive it is going to be to change it.
We have friends that change their... One friend in particular, they change their kitchen about every 2 years.
But they have more money than they
got. There you go.
But I mean, that's a really good tip, because a lot of people get caught up in what's trendy, and then 3 years later, they're looking at
it. Like, oh, I hate that leopard print backsplash. That's terrible.
What about in the appliances area? Like, what are some of the appliances that you're seeing now that you're like, I love this. I want to put it in every kitchen.
What I love right now, because appliances are appliances, right? But what's cool about them is the Venta hoods. So Gen Air has something really cool and out of this world. Where have you seen them? Where the cooktop is in the island, and you've got the push button,
yeah,
and
push
the vent comes up, and it just blows air around, and your house smells like crap,
right,
or not crap, bacon. I don't care, whatever.
Right.
But that is just recirculating. The one from Gen Air, you have to have space in your island, so you've got to get it built correctly.
Sure.
But it's like a full coverage, so it like comes up, spans up, and over the cooktop.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, it's expensive. It's like $9,000,
wow,
but it's the coolest. The other thing, as far as appliances go, microwave drawers. Everybody needs a microwave. You might not use it all that often,
right,
but it's in the
really?
Way.
Right.
It's on the counter. It's taking up prep space.
Right.
It's over the range, which I hate. You know, but I get it. We all have...
We have hearts in the laundry room. We never use it.
No, see? But you sometimes, you need
it. Once in a while, I plug it
in. So to actually build it into your cabinets or your island or wherever, and you push a button and it kind of rolls out and goes in. It's hidden, but it's still there.
I love that. That's a great one.
I love that.
All right, I got to jump in. Unfortunately, we got to move on. Go see Alice and Victoria out at the Dulles Expo Center today. Don't go see Alice and Michelle. She's 64 years old and dead, probably. And
watch Kitchen Crashers.
Yeah, I want to know. Give up.
Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
On DIY. On DIY Network. And then Saturdays on HGTV.
Excellent.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for
Thank
coming
you for
today.
Having
Have
me.
Fun today.
That was great.
Still drinking.
Keep drinking because we're going to go back to Michelle, the other Michelle in my life, and Jade. You know, we've done a couple of remotes down at Early Mountain Vineyard, but they've really been kind of in season. What goes on there during kind of the dead of the winter? What sort of stuff do you have going on?
Dead of the winter is probably one of the most beautiful times also with the snowfall. We have music. Every Friday?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
Throughout the weekend. We're open late on Friday nights till 8 o'clock. We have a restaurant on site. I had mentioned that over 8,000 square foot space. We have a marketplace and a restaurant supporting local farmers and local products. So we're a little bit unique. And our tasting room does something a little bit different in the way we present wines. In addition to the wines that we produce, we showcase and feature wines from throughout the state that we think really show the quality and the momentum forward with this Virginia wine.
Is that by Virginia?
By Virginia, yes.
Yeah.
But although I do a lot of, I'm a sommelier, so I do a lot of educational tastings. Mm-hmm. I'm planning one the end of February with sake, rice wine. So we do incorporate other educational initiatives. Mm-hmm. But in the tasting room, we feature Virginia wines and our state wines as well.
And how do you go about selecting, because Virginia has so many wines, and wineries. I mean, there's new ones cropping up all the time. How do you go about selecting the vineyards that you feature?
It's a process, but we do rely on recommendations from even Dave McIntyre has given me some recommendations.
Okay, from the Washington Post.
Yes, Dave McIntyre and the Washington Post and others in the industry. I used to work in Northern Virginia, D.C., which is how I knew Nikki and David, actually. I used to live, walk, and breathe the list Are You On It when it first came into fruition.
You should still.
Well, I still do now. I was just saying I moved away out of state and came back.
Yeah, there's something called the internet.
David. I kept on board with it. I really did.
Just making sure.
I did. So it's there's many. There's over 240 wineries now in the state. Myself and my team, we go out and we seek to taste as many wines as we can throughout the year. I'm always looking for partners to travel on food and wine, so if you're interested, just
All right. Well, listen, we're going to talk more about that, because I think the Buy Virginia
just
program is great.
Tell us quickly what you poured.
This is the Block 11 white blend. And So actually, to piggyback on the conversation around trends, I believe blending is trending in wines. This is a white blend. It's a higher-end white blend. And, you know, with wine trends, fortunately, this costs more like $22 rather than the $20,000 investment in your kitchen. But this is a blend you might not normally come across. It's mainly Petit Mensang,
it's not a grape that you normally hear.
No, you don't. You hear it in Jurançon, a region in France, where it's normally produced as a dessert wine. But it's natural sugars and high acidity do really well here in Virginia. And it's blended with a little bit of Muscat in this version of our Block 11 white blend.
It's delicious. All right. Well, while we're waiting for Joan... John, we got you sitting right here. Why don't we just dig into you?
All right.
You have food to prepare and bring in, but we're going to talk about what John Mooney is doing. John Mooney just opened a brand new restaurant called Bidwell at the very, very hot Union Market downtown in D.C. And you actually came out of New York, but you were in D.C. for a while at Red Sage. So why don't you give us your 411? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I want to say, by the way, that when we were dating and dining at Red Sage, you were probably cooking our food, so God bless you, mate.
Maybe I had something to do with that.
You might have. You made us the luckiest woman in the world.
Right. I could either blame you or not.
Yeah, sure. Go both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I did work in D.C. in the mid-90s at Red Sage. Met a lot of great guys.
Where are you from originally?
Chicago.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
That's
Chicago.
Coming up a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
Chicago town.
And then you went to culinary school and worked with Mark?
Yeah, I went to culinary school in Chicago, and then I actually worked in Dallas, Texas, and a crew of us came up here to D.C. to work at Red Sage.
Okay.
All right. And then what?
New York and all over the place, pretty much. But New York's been my residence since the late 90s, but I lived in India and Ireland, and I worked for Drew Nieperent and Robert De Niro's restaurant group up in New York for about 10 years.
Well, so let's talk about your restaurant in New York.
Sure.
So you have this restaurant right now up in the city. It's
got... It's 3 years old. It's in the mm-hmm. West Village.
Right.
It's called...
Bell Book and Candle.
Yeah, Bell Book and Candle.
Mm-hmm. And what's the concept? Tell us a little bit about it, because I think it relates to Bidwell, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Bidwell and Bell Book and Candle, I call them sisters now.
Okay.
So we have a rooftop garden. Mm-hmm. We use interesting technology, aeroponics, requires no soil, and that's right on the roof.
You right. have to explain that.
We want to get into aeroponics.
Yeah. Sure.
So let's explain first. Do you want to get in? Might as well get further.
Yeah, I mean,
let's get into aeroponics.
It's such an interesting way of going. What's the range of vegetables you can grow with aeroponics, and how do you do it?
I can grow anything except roots and tubes, so onions, carrots, beets, things like that.
Anything that has to be in the soil.
Right.
Okay. But anything on a vine?
Yeah, vines are great.
You can grow tomatoes in the air?
Oh, yeah.
How?
Well, there's a system. It's made out of food-grade plastic, actually.
It's like a structure, right?
Right. And so that basically gives the vegetables something to grow their roots into.
Mm-hmm. But it's just in a fortified water? Is that it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So how did you get into aeroponics? I mean, was that something you were really hot on and wanted to do? Like, how did you get involved with it?
Well, I had done a bunch of conventional farming projects, and I actually owned a plantation in Florida.
Okay.
In 06, 07, 08.
What kind of plantation did you own?
Well, it was a restaurant, a big wedding destination. It
okay.
was a plantation.
Cool.
Okay,
so
cool.
We had a bunch of acreage. I was trying to grow all my own vegetables, and mm-hmm. it was proved to be very challenging.
I bet.
So a lot of challenges in Florida with disease and pests and things.
I was going to say, and bugs.
I randomly found the inventor of the system I do now at a farmer's market.
Okay.
And tested it in Florida, worked really good. And then I had already had my location to build Bell Book and Candle. Mm-hmm. And then the pieces just came together. So I tested that system for a year in a small setting. And then...
So is it a greenhouse at Bell Book and Candle? Or
no.
is it just completely outdoors?
It's outdoors. You're subject to the same elements as conventional farming. You're just controlling it better.
What happens in the winter?
I shut it down.
Oh, really?
So it's not greenhoused. Okay.
So I could.
Would you greenhouse it?
I would, but I have a landmark building. I can't add structure to it. It's a 100-year-old building.
All right. So let's talk about. Now you're planning on doing the same sort of system here at Union Market.
It's all ready to go. Equipment's all there.
Because I did have for a while, like before the restaurant was constructed, like a couple of those planters.
Right. As a demonstration. The, right.
As a demo.
We did a dinner and try to introduce.
There.
Yeah.
Right.
Great. So you saw. You know, it kind of. Requires a first-hand experience to understand that system.
Right.
But the basics is we grow vertically, so we manage space better.
Mm-hmm.
You can produce a lot in a small area, and the use of dead space is what makes it more interesting because we can grow our vegetables
what
right on location.
What does it cost to set something like that up? I mean, it sounds like a whole Lego project.
If you were going to do it in your home, one of those towers, you could grow a considerable amount. $500 is your initial investment.
Really?
But so now that you're doing that, like, let's talk about the kind of vegetation that you will be growing down
sure.
here. So what are we looking at? Are we looking at tomatoes? Are we looking at
loads
herbs?
Of tomatoes,
I mean,
loads of different varieties. I like to grow exotic things.
Okay, like?
Well, the name of Bidwell is an heirloom melon.
Right,
I'll grow them there.
Okay.
We grow loads of cantaloupes, French melons, watermelons, a bunch of varieties. I grow cucumbers, zucchini, all the herbs.
Let me ask you, you know, in the summer, there's nothing better still, excuse me, around here than a Jersey tomato.
Sure.
I mean, they're like, it's like...
I mean, you have to go up to Jersey to get the tomatoes.
But you can get them here. So what are you getting? Like, I guess I'm asking, what sort of quality, what level of, in particular, because tomatoes are hard.
Well, here's the thing. My tomatoes are grown for consumption, not for transport. You're still bringing them down from Jersey. Mine are coming right off the vine. You're eating them that day in my restaurant.
Awesome.
And but do they still have the flavor and texture?
Absolutely.
Without the soil?
Yeah, it's absolutely. They take what they need.
Mm-hmm.
The suspension elements, the nutrients in the liquid, the vegetables take what they need.
Okay. All right, we have to take a quick break.
Sure.
When we get back,
really cool.
Let's dive into Bidwell. Let's talk about what you're serving there, what people can look for there.
Sure.
And how the restaurant's going to grow once it gets nice out and you have a patio.
Great.
All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're talking about Bidwell and Union Market. We'll be right back.
Acquisition and Industry Thursday on Federal News Radio. Thursday mornings at 11, listen for Amtower Off Center, a unique perspective on B2G marketing. Thursday afternoons at 2, CGP's Roger Waldron hosts Off the Shelf, a show on all things procurement. And Thursdays at 3, in-depth host Francis Rose brings you industry chatter about policy, regulation, and trends. Acquisition and Industry Thursday on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy. Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Shepherd's Table, one of the area's leading organizations of providing basic human services to people without homes, will be hosting its annual fundraiser, Always Room for One More, live at the Fillmore on Sunday, March 30th from 3 to 7 p.m. Join Shepherd's Table for an afternoon of fun. Enjoy live and silent auctions, terrific food, beverages, and live entertainment. Three bands will perform, including Prefab 4, a Beatles tribute band from New York. For tickets, visit shepherdstable.org.
At UPS, we take two things very seriously, your budget and our planet. It's why we've built one of the largest alternative fuel fleets in the industry. It's why we offer eco-responsible services like carbon-neutral shipping and carbon impact analysis. It's also why businesses trust UPS to provide customized solutions that cut costs and boost productivity. UPS is committed to helping you operate more efficiently and sustainably. Learn more at ups.com/gov.
Federal budgeting is broken. So what's to be done about it? Federal News Radio invites you to join an online chat with two vocal advocates of fiscal responsibility as they share their specific budget fixes. David Walker, former U.S. Comptroller General, and Diana Urban, Connecticut State Representative, are joined by Federal News Radio's Tom Temin on Tuesday, March 4th at 9 a.m. It's all part of our special report, Now or Never, Ideas to Save the Failing Budget Process. Register for the chat online at federalnewsradio.com.
Hey, it's David and Nikki Nellis.
Yep.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast. We're talking to John Mooney of Bidwell, which just opened up at Union Market, and about aeroponics, which is a whole way of growing
vegetation.
Essentially growing veggies in the air with some plastic
in the water.
Support. Air and water,
right?
And fortified water. So talk about your menu down there. Tell us, give us an idea of what's
about
going
Bidwell.
On. At Bidwell.
At Bidwell, I dedicate pretty much the whole food program to American food.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I pull from the regions of America, but I do it in my own way.
Okay.
I mean, I had a lot of roots in Southwest food, even when I was in Red Sage and stuff like that. I mean, I like the regions of America. And it's pretty friendly, pretty straightforward. I like ingredient-focused, so it's not overcomplicated or very manipulated food.
Mm-hmm.
I like to showcase a lot of things that I would grow, and I do grow throughout the year, but a lot of variety, kind of a large menu, very social, where there's a lot of plates you can share, or smaller plates where you can have more quantity and a little bit more fun.
Well, let's talk about, so now that we can't, since you're not growing your own, are you just working, like, are you working with the vendors in the market? I mean, you have such great people doing such amazing things there. How do you work with the people there?
Well, they're a great resource. I mean, there's a lot of things coming in the market.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the vendors are retailing, but I mean, we have that place is kind of like a hub. So if it's not in the market, we can get it.
I mean, do you use Rappahannock oysters or the meats from Nate Anda and those guys?
Yeah, Harvey's. Harvey's brings lots of great stuff in. We use direct contacts through them. Righteous Cheese.
Right, she's got incredible.
Great stuff.
Got great stuff.
Yeah, we get spices. We do use some of the veg there, too.
Okay.
So, but when you came back to D.C. to do all this, did you try and reconnect with other resources you had used at Red Sage? Or are there new ones that you're
finding? It's been a while, but within the market, sourcing, I use all those guys as references, and I use product, and it's a great place to be if you run out of something and you're a restaurant opening.
Not to mention, I mean, people are already there.
Right.
So, and given how the layout of Union Market is, there's only a few sit-down places like Rappahannock, now Bidwell, you know, Red Apron, but there's not a lot of places where you can sit and eat. It's more pick-up.
Exactly.
So how do you incorporate that into what you're doing? Like we were talking about this earlier with your outdoor seating.
Sure.
How much outdoor seating do you think you'll have?
Well, I'm going to try to put as much as I can because I think people really are attracted to that.
Yes.
And we do have that space out in front. I mean, I don't want to be the only one doing my full service there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I need to share with everyone in the market. But what I would like to see is everybody who comes there being able to use the market and use the outdoor space and really enjoy the whole feel of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge amount of foot traffic there. It makes me feel good being foresighted and opening a full service restaurant in the market. It's nice to see how much people actually
turn up.
Let's
talk about the food you brought in today before we bring Frederick Dupuy on.
I brought two varieties of the same dish. One is a vegetarian option, and the other one has a homemade chorizo I make in house there.
Oh, cool. Now, are you finding that there's lots of vegetarians? Like, or is that a big ask?
In general.
Okay.
You get a lot of gluten-free, dairy-free, and vegetable-oriented diets, you know. It's just the way things go, so I like to give the options. I'm proactive in anticipating that. Mm-hmm. So what we have here is pinto beans cooked in beer. There's some cilantro and shallots and tomatoes marinated in sherry vinegar with some goat cheese. And then the meat option has the homemade chorizo I made.
Yeah.
And then grilled flatbread here.
That sounds delicious.
Gee, I guess I could put my fork in either one of those.
I hear the forks coming out now.
You hear the quivering in my hand like a...
Here you go.
You can have pizza.
And are you guys... Thank you. Are you guys doing brunch?
Oh, yes, actually, today.
Today's first brunch?
And then we'll start doing it Saturday, Sunday next week and lunch this Wednesday.
It's also really pretty.
It is very pretty. Well, I'm going to take a picture of it. All right. Well, while David's digging into that, we're going to ask you to stay here because since we lost Joe Nathan, we do want to talk about Sips and Sups. You're participating for the first time this year.
I am. Thank God I got in.
Yeah, right? So we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. So let's bring on Frederick Dupuy. Frederick, come on.
Hey, Frederick.
Have a seat.
So Frederick, on January 24th, he's opening Menu MBK, which means Market Bar Kitchen.
What is it?
Bistro bar.
You don't know what it means. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Bar, same thing.
Yes, thank you. Well, we have a triple concept restaurant that's going to be opening up in the next coming weeks. And the great part of it is that we have this fantastic building in Penn Quarter that has the main floor. We're going to do full farmer market where we have a huge production of our own products, to-go dishes. We work with local suppliers.
That's
like
going to be
DCQ
on the ground floor.
Yeah, that's the full ground floor.
Okay.
And then you go up a level, and then where our kitchen is, we're going to have a 6-seat kitchen restaurant where we have just 2 seating a night, and we go up with the concept that we take 5 seasonal ingredients and we make a menu out of that. So it could be that duck would be a main course, different every day, where I feel like, and we make it really also reasonable in pricing. It's not going to be that very expensive.
So it's one menu.
Five courses.
And it's one price.
It's one price, $65.
That's very
cool. And it's 2 seatings a night. It's only 12 seats. And you sit in front of us, and it's kind of fun because it's everybody.
That's on that second floor.
At the second floor.
Okay. And are you using the third floor?
And then the third floor becomes where there used to be the famous mini bar.
Right.
That is our bar.
Wait, that's the third floor? What about that top floor?
We have 4 floors.
You have 4. All right. Okay. Sorry. For those who don't know the space we're talking about, it was the former Cafe Atlantico space.
Indeed.
It's 8th Street, right?
It's 8th Street. Okay. D&E. And so the thing is that we wanted to create something where you come and it's the same way we did the table in a way.
Okay.
It's a really home feel. We have now the third floor who's a bistro bar with sofa seating, comfortable coffee tables, 6 seats at the bar, a big bench, and just sit back, relax, have great wine, beer.
You
and
know
then,
how I feel about table. I love table.
Thank you very much. And you go up 6
What a
steps.
Suck up. Jeez.
I'm not
and
a then, suck up. I'm if I don't like it, I don't say anything. That's how you know the truth.
And then we have our bistro actually upstairs where it's 4 prices.
Okay.
It's either $8, $15, $18, or $25. And the main courses are either $18 or $25.
Okay.
And the first courses are $8 or $15.
Wow.
And we do
I've never heard of anybody... I thought doing I wanted that with to, an a la yeah. carte menu.
But
that's
I think it's fun because it's like you create a straightforward concept that people understand. They come in and it's something that we can play with. You can have escargots. We're going to have veal meatballs that I believe you're trying.
I mean,
that's
I'm
what
just
David, are you kidding? David's like hoarding them.
These are yummy.
But so, this is that we're going to be serving in our to-go foods in the market.
All right, so let's start back down in the market again.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the to-go foods. I mean, is this a place where we can pick up things to take home for dinner? Is this a place where we're taking up components to make dinner?
It's
what
both.
Is it?
It's both. So the concept that we had is we're working with Bounty Hill Farms in Pennsylvania to bring our vegetables. So you can buy the raw product and go home and cook it yourself.
Okay.
Or you you're in a hurry, you don't want to cook that night.
So are you going to have meat and fish?
We have meat, fish. We're going to have cheeses, wow. charcuterie. We have Jason doing the full bakery.
Oh, you mean charcuterie?
Charcuterie, yeah. indeed.
David. Let me He's make, such a make jerk. Sense.
Speak English, boy.
He's such a jerk.
It's my Belgium accent.
No.
And we really come up to like, and it's from everything. We want to have wine, beer. We're going to have that. So you really can come in. Grab your cheese, have your to-go food that's ready. You have friends coming over. You get meatballs, and it's accessible to every single level of what you know spending. Mm-hmm. You can come in and buy something—a sandwich just made in front of you for you know $8. Walk away, have a bag right. of chip, or you can grab a coffee and you can have literally so you shop for your full menu.
Okay,
so you can spend the whole day there and just go up and down.
Exactly, that's my that's what I do.
You put an escalator in. You put an escalator in on there. Okay.
No, you get your exercise.
I don't want
yeah,
no
yeah,
exercise.
This is our gym out. This, no when thanks. When we have new staff coming in, they're like, "Oh, we go to the gym every day." It's like, "Yeah, that's gonna stop you. Just walk up and down.
Put a lift outside for me and just you know."
When Andy laughs, you know it's really funny because he never laughs.
Yeah, no sense
so,
of humor.
Right. Are you going to be open? That's so mean. So is the market open all day?
Market's going to be open 12 hours a day from 9 to 9.
9 to 9, okay.
So we want to give also the opportunity to people that dine upstairs. Mm-hmm. They might have discovered something. They have a great product.
You
and they can buy those.
Baked goods down there, too?
Baked goods. We have a full bakery downstairs. Jason.
Can you open in Kensington, Maryland? You're so far away from me.
We'll work on that.
So the market's open from 9 to 9.
Yeah, 9 to 9.
And then the second level's open.
The second level. So the kitchen, mm-hmm. called the kitchen concept, will be open only at night.
Okay.
And 5 days a week.
And you've got Jason... it's pronounced Gehring, right?
Gehring, yeah.
Jason Gehring from... to do all your pastries.
Yeah, from okay. Who used to be formerly at Astro Donut. Yeah.
Right.
He's fantastic. He's made the cookies.
He's been in studio before. He's
yeah.
terrific.
Yeah, and the
I
cookies you're having now.
Do you want some mm-hmm. cookies?
The chocolate chip pistachio and...
I don't think she bit it.
No, I didn't bite it. And even if I did, I don't have cooties.
No.
But we want to do also... We want to do also like a fun bakery where you have the cookies and all those kind of things. We will mm-hmm. do... We're not going to go really with the croissants and the chocolate croissant and all that. It's we want to do kind of things that people really grab in the morning and go that they're everybody's familiar with. From okay. the meatballs, it's from Chapel Hill, from Virginia. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful product, and it's all organic product that we're going through the store.
Terrific.
All
and
right,
then,
so talk
wait,
about
okay,
well,
go ahead.
Table, because yeah. you just celebrated your first anniversary.
Yeah, it's our anniversary
which is a
weekend.
Huge accomplishment, because most businesses yeah. don't, yeah. and you've done very well there.
It's a fantastic. It feels really home every single time I
go there.
The table's
in Shaw.
And that's in Shaw District, yeah. yeah. It's a wonderful neighborhood, first of all. I think it's... I'm so pleased to be there, and one of the first restaurants where you can really go in
and bring ground.
It's amazing what's going on now. Across the street, we have a construction going on, two blocks down, another block down. It's just around us. It's everywhere they're building. And Table has become that, you know, it's our baby. It's like that restaurant where people just come and have a great time. They sit back, relax. The patio in the summer is fantastic. And we're making a change to that for the next summer as well.
Well, I have to be what kind of change are you making? Don't change it too much.
No, we make it better.
He's going to start calling it tabla.
We make it better.
Well, I think what's fascinating about, are we calling it table or tabla? What are we calling it these days?
I chose names that you can pronounce in any language. So if
you mean like charcuterie
or table, same sounds the same.
Okay.
But I say table, I say tablet. It's really up to the
customer. Talk about the menu there, because it's very mm-hmm. easygoing sort of European country.
Yeah, we really work, again, the same thing what we're going to do at menu is we work what we have available
mm-hmm.
on the market. We're not going to do gazpacho now and those kind of things. So now for this our first year celebration, we brought on back our initial menu that okay. we started with. I think it's kind of fun to go back, because we're changing the menu every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we bring our initial things back and people really came back and reserving for that, because they
right.
had in memory that wild boar bolognese that we had on the menu,
right.
the venison stew with the persimmons and carrot puree.
It has a very, you tell me if I'm incorrect in this, mm-hmm. but I felt like when I ate there, it had a very sort of Scandinavian feel in there. Like everything is very clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very clean, like esoteric kind of feeling, like just the way the servers are, which they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I know David hasn't been there, so he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I'm just
about.
Trying to understand an esoteric feeling.
But, you know, it just feels... Well, if you had gone,
I think it's
maybe
a natural wood color that makes that a little bit, and the bare concrete
but
floors
even the presentation,
and the garage.
The way yeah. everything is very clean, it's not overcomplicated.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels very fresh, and clearly you're using really incredible ingredients, and that comes through. And that's why I love the space there. And mm-hmm. I think the roof deck is gorgeous.
I think also some dishes, I mean, you don't require to have 25 ingredients on a dish to make it great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the cuisine that we kind of approach and going for. It's like, it's sometimes just like this, we put a spaghetti bolognese of boar on the menu.
Yum.
And people just go for it. And simultaneously we have the braised pork belly with clams
mm-hmm.
and bok choy. And it's a dish that we had last year. We just brought it on for restaurant week, and mm-hmm. it was been fantastic. People just go for it.
Oh, we leave here, we're going to make a run at Bidwell and a run at Cobbler.
We have a lot of eating to do. All right, we have to take a quick break.
Yep.
When we get back, we are going to give everybody your 411 on where they can find both places. Yep. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Sips and Sups.
Right.
And finish up with Early Mountain Vineyard. This is David and Nikki Nellis. We'll be right back.
NASA needs men and women like you to participate in a program that helps study the physical changes an astronaut might encounter during microgravity conditions of spaceflight. Currently, a countermeasure and functional testing study is being done within the Heads Down Tilt Bedrest program called CFT-70. For more information on participating in the CFT-70 program, contact the Johnson Space Center's Human Test Subject Facility at 1-866-JCS-TEST or visit thebedreststudy.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Are you ready to race for impact? Are you ready to race for the cure? Join Susan G. Komen Global Race for the Cure this Mother's Day weekend on the National Mall. Saturday, May 10th marks the 25th anniversary of the Susan G. Komen Global Race for the Cure events in Washington, D.C. With fun for the whole family, including a race just for kids, everyone can help fund life-saving breast cancer screenings, treatment, and more. Register today at globalraceforthecure.org. That's globalraceforthecure.org.
Federal budgeting is broken. So what's to be done about it? Federal News Radio invites you to join an online chat with two vocal advocates of fiscal responsibility as they share their specific budget fixes. David Walker, former U.S. Comptroller General, and Diana Urban, Connecticut State Representative, are joined by Federal News Radio's Tom Temin on Tuesday, March 4th at 9 a.m. It's all part of our special report, Now or Never, Ideas to Save the Failing Budget Process. Register for the chat online at federalnewsradio.com.
Hey, we're back on Fooding the Beast with David and the talkative Nikki Nellis. And before I get back to the show, I just want to thank the people that sponsor us and make sure we stay alive and we're here and that like us. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, the whole Black's Restaurant Group, the mm-hmm. whole Neighborhood Restaurant Group,
mm-hmm.
all 2,000 restaurants or whatever they got now. Our friends at Early Mountain Vineyard that happen to be in here today, the Virginia Wine Board.
Oh, can we give a shout out to Jeff Black's new restaurant, Republic?
Yes.
Just got a nice review today, so congrats
nice.
On
Nice, way
that.
To go, Jeff.
Yep.
Who tried to guest host for me when I was out getting my knee fixed, but, you know.
He did do it.
There's no replacement for the real thing.
I am, well.
And the American Land Board and Border Springs Farm, Craig Rogers, the world's greatest sheep farmer.
He's lovely.
He is lovely. So we got John Mooney in here from Bidwell. We mm-hmm. got Frederick DePue in here from Tabla, Table, everything. And the folks from Early Mountain Vineyard. And
we have to let Frederick tell everybody where a table is and menu
we did
is.
That.
No, we did not. That's why he's going to do it.
Not the actual street address
in
Shaw.
No, he needs to give the address and website. Go it's
ahead.
Important.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So table is at 9 Street, on the corner of 9th Street and N. So it's mm-hmm. 903 N Street in mm-hmm. Shaw District. And menu MBK is due to open this week on the 24th.
Great.
And that's on 405 8th Street in Penn Quarter.
And just to recap on menu, mm-hmm. the downstairs, the bakery, that'll open at 9 on
yeah,
the 24th.
9 o'clock on the 24th.
And the restaurant?
The restaurant upstairs is a week later.
Okay.
It's the 31st.
Okay, and then the
and
top?
Then the kitchen, that's the second one that's open is the bistro bar.
Okay.
And then the kitchen, the 6 seats is going to be in a month.
Okay.
Once we have everything under control.
Okay, great. Okay, well, I think that the secondary concept sounds really interesting. Yeah. I'm
bistro bar is
to
fantastic.
It.
It's look like online, fun. We have pictures on it. It looks like your living room. And
I can't wait
it's
to
really
see
fantastic.
It. Congratulations.
Maybe it'll become great. Our living room. We don't know.
Well, you have to all go right. up the stairs, though.
Well, don't leave the microphone because we were going to have Joan Nathan on, and she was about to get on a plane, and we lost her there
mm-hmm.
after some deleted expletives. But Sips and Sups is coming up. It's the 6th anniversary of this event. Jose Andres, Joan, and Alice Waters created it. during President Obama's first inauguration with the idea of drawing attention to, you know, and to raising funds for poverty and hunger and healthy food accessibility in the community. The beneficiaries are D.C. Central Kitchen and Miriam's Kitchen and
Martha's Table.
Martha's Table. This is at Miriam again. Miriam, get away. But the point is that what they did was they started out with a kind of a one-shot deal, and it's become this institutional event that grows every year. And in fact, we have many of the
Actually, everybody in studio is participating.
Early Mountain Vineyards is the wine sponsor, along with somebody else?
Yes. We're the wine sponsor for the VIP event.
Right, for the VIP reception.
Okay, so for people who don't know, it started off as suppers, and they brought in chefs from all over the world to come in to cook these very high-priced dinners on the Sunday night before inauguration, and they paired them with local chefs, and they brought in all this fabulous local product, and it raised a tremendous amount of money for DC Central Kitchen and Martha's Table. And then it was so successful that they decided to do it again the following year, and that's when they brought in the Saturday night Sips. And this is a lower priced event where people can go around and try different foods from local artisans, fabulous wines. It's at the museum.
Correct.
And
On the 25th.
So the Saturday evening before. And everybody who's participating, Alice Waters is going to be there, Joe Nathan, Jose Andre, everybody is going to be there. And it's
Plus Eric Asimov, who's the chief wine critic at the New York Times, which I think is a pretty big deal for him.
It's a very big deal, I think.
All right,
for
so let's talk about the
like
VIP section, because that is sort of a recent addition. Tell
Correct.
Us a little bit
the
about
Sips
that.
The Sips event is $95 a ticket.
Okay.
For, you know, you get to do a lot of taste from chefs and mixologists, renowned mixologists around locally.
Mm-hmm.
But the VIP event is an hour beforehand. I believe it starts about 6:30, 6 or 6:30. And it's $200 a person, but you have the personal, that's where Eric Asimov, the New York Times wine critic, and Alice Waters. Mm-hmm. Who is, you know, if you don't know Alice Waters, then don't come.
she's a mother of organic eating, really.
Right.
So you have the personal one-on-one with her. It's limited to 100 people too. So that the tickets are, I don't think they're sold out yet. I know the website is sipsandsuppers.org,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you can book tickets for the regular, mm-hmm. which will be a great demonstration from chefs and mixologists, or the VIP section where we'll be pouring Early Mountain. The Block 11 blend that I call the Nectar of the Gods, but we call the Nectar of the
delicious.
Chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then RDV, this Rendezvous, their Bordeaux blend,
which is
acclaimed.
Right.
As I said,
when we were at Lambstock, RDV, you know, the Virginia Wine Board was there.
Yeah.
And they were really showcasing RDV.
Yes.
And I mean, with good reason. I mean, it's really spectacular.
It's amazing what he's done mm-hmm. with Bordeaux blends in Virginia in the last several years.
So will you guys be talking at the VIP section? Tell us what you'll be doing.
We'll be pouring wines mm-hmm. and talking about our concept and about Virginia wines and the resurgence of this region as a region to be contended with
mm-hmm.
in terms of quality across the international at the international level.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have, as I said, Alice Waters and Eric Asimov there as well, mingling with the 100 guests.
Okay.
And Jade may or may have not put together some good swag.
Yeah, there's really good swag for those guests, and also. Both Eric
swag.
And Alice.
We love swag.
I know. And Eric and Alice are also releasing their books, too. So guests will be walking out with their books, and they'll have a signing. So it's a real treat to have access to these, you know, top-noted food and wine folks.
Fantastic.
For these guests.
Now, just very quickly, John Mooney, you're participating for your first time this year.
I am, yes.
So where are you? Are you doing one of the dinners on Sunday, or are you participating at Sips?
I'm doing
the Saturday night.
Yeah, the tasting part. Saturday night, yeah.
Okay, so you're gonna. So are you gonna give out little tastes?
Yes.
Do you know what you're doing yet?
I am. Uh-huh. I do know, yes.
Are you gonna tell us? Or are you gonna keep it a secret?
Wait a minute. Frederick's got a notepad and a pen out.
I'm gonna keep it in suspense. Or should I?
You can tell us.
Come
sure.
On. I'm gonna do a lobster taco with avocado. Ooh. Your avocado.
Yeah, my girlfriend. You got
avocado and tomatillo salsa.
That sounds fantastic. Okay, and Chef Frederick Depew,
can I just add, is that an aeroponically grown avocado?
No, it's not. No trees out of the aeroponic system.
Okay, you're also participating. You will not be at Sips, but you will instead...
Suppers.
Yeah. So who are you partnered with?
So it's Sebastien Archambault of the Blue Duck.
Oh, fantastic.
Both of us, we're going to do a dinner for about 20 to 30 people. Looking forward, it's really great, because it was very easy for us to put the menu together. So mm-hmm. We do both two dishes, and then together we're going to go for the cheeses and appetizers. So
what are you serving?
We're going to do our black truffle crudité for the
sounds
first.
Sounds horrible.
And sounds what else? Really horrible. And then the main course that we are in charge of is going to be the venison and bison. So excellent. A combination of both.
All right. So if you want to find out information,